Right, good morning, King's Church. It's wonderful to see you this morning. For people who were here last week, I just noticed there's a few people. This is a second part, what we did last week. And so maybe if you didn't listen, if you want to maybe hear it on the website, I was speaking from Ephesians about the greatest lovers make the greatest warriors. And just to say that we had a wonderful time after the talk of just God really touching us and speaking to us. And when I come to talk, I just want to say, that's all I'm doing. I'm coming to talk to you because actually as I'm talking to you, I'm talking to myself as well. So I'm speaking the truth of God's word to myself. So if you'd like to stand, we'll start in Ephesians again. That's where we are for the reading of the word. It's Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord. We'll nearly be able to recite this, really. Maybe say it under your breath. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armour of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against the authorities and against the cosmic powers over the present darkness and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. What a promise. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And we'll just pray. Lord Jesus, I just pray. I thank you for this wonderful scripture, and I pray that you'll come with this wonderful manifest presence as you do. And Holy Spirit, we just want to say as a church, we really need you. And I want to say, as somebody who's speaking forth your words, Lord, today, I pray that you will fill me, Holy Spirit, and I pray that my words would be only coming from heaven's throne room today. And I pray that they would ignite something to shift the atmosphere in us and just change our hearts and change our lives, Lord, we pray in your holy name. Amen. I can only say to you that I can't really do anything unless the Holy Spirit comes to speak to me. So this scripture that I'm going to speak about today is this little bit. So we've done all the other parts of the armour and we've come into the end now, and we're going to talk about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I'm praying at all times in the Spirit with prayer and supplication. I guess they're really two great passions of mine, because God's word is very, very powerful. And the only person that makes it powerful is the Holy Spirit. And so reading it on its own, without the help of the Holy Spirit, it's just words, and it's not transformation. And when I tell you this word has been, for me, so very, very precious over my life, it shifted, when I tell you, it shifted atmospheres within me. It's changed some mindsets within me. It's absolutely given me direction for my life. It's helped me to understand the revelation of the great God of heaven. And it inspires me and empowers me every day. And I want to tell you today, it is alive and living. Yeah. And when I spoke to you last week about being lovers, because I can only come from this point, if you are a lover, nobody, but nobody, will have to remind you to read this book. And that is to no condemnation to anybody, because God's word doesn't condemn us. But if you find all the truth of who God is in this book, if you find all your life in this book, if you read about men's absolutely victories and freedom and men's failures in this book, and it shows you the way and it tells you of God's love and kindness and grace. Because this book, this wonderful word of God, I can't explain it to you, but it's like that. It's like having the cheek of Jesus Christ so close to you. In your darkest day, you feel the closeness of our God. In your happiest day, you feel the closeness of God. And every page from beginning to end, whether it's challenging us, whether it's encouraging us, whether it's disciplining us, every single page in this book is telling us about God's love for his people. Yeah. It's telling us about his love for us. And so in everything that God is doing and saying, it is demonstrating his love. And I want you to really breathe that in today, because I think some people don't read certain aspects of God's word because they don't find certain aspects of God's word loving. But in every single page that he writes in, and he's spoken to men in, to it's penned by the Holy Spirit, there are just wonderful words. And I want to ask you this question today. Is God bringing revelations to you through the scriptures? Is the Holy Spirit speaking to you to change your heart through the scriptures? Or do you read it just for some information and to gain some intellect? Or is it coming really close to you? Because when we read the word of God, it does shift the atmosphere of our hearts. And so when I was praying and I was asking God what I would speak, I felt that the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I have this little joke, don't I? I do say that I listen to God, but I don't know why, but he always seems to tell me things early in the morning. So last Monday, I kind of had this talk kind of in my mind, what I was going to say, and God just came and rearranged me and said something completely different to me. And because I think we can hear other people's words, we can listen to things in books, and we can, things that other people say can actually inspire us. But the Holy Spirit himself wants to inspire us. And so it was like God was telling me, like, you've heard some things, and yes, they've caused some inspiration in you, but there's no greater, better teacher than the Holy Spirit. And so when he speaks, something moves. When he tells us something, so the Holy Spirit said, I just want you to speak about really the power of God in the unseen, in the unseen. And so when you go back into this verse here, in verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the cosmic powers and over the this present darkness and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. There is an unseen world, and there are forces of evil. And we would be very silly as Christians not to take that very seriously. We don't have to be afraid, because the Bible tells us every instruction in here who our God is. Our God is powerful, and our God is over the darkness. But we have to be aware of the darkness, and we have to be aware of the influences that Satan does. And Satan sends these demonic forces to do. So there was these two unseen things that God was speaking to me about. And the first one, if you want to just turn to me, is in Hebrews, again back to where we first came from. Because it's the unseen things that we need this word of truth to penetrate our hearts, this word of truth to come over us. And I'm going to read from Hebrews 4, verse 11. And it says, "Let us therefore strive to enter that rest." And so he's talking about the rest in the beginning of the chapter, really talking about the promises and about obedience. There's many things in it. "So that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active." Listen very carefully. It is living and active. I don't know if some people, if you don't read it, what happens to you is you will die spiritually. You will, if you don't read it. The word of God is alive and living. And that means it keeps you alive and living. This is spiritual. It's a spiritual matter. It's not learned. It's not learned by our intellect. It's learned spiritually. Because it's the Holy Spirit who imparts the truth to us. So it's all about the Holy Spirit. It's all about spiritual things. And so it said, "The word of God is alive, living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." Well, I want to tell you that this word is love to us. This piece of scripture is God's pure, beautiful love to us, to tell us this very important thing: guard your heart well. Because in the unseen world of what demonic powers do, they come to try to influence and shift where your heart should be. So your heart should be on ablaze and set on fire for Jesus Christ. That's what it should be. You should have a passion for Jesus, a passion for his word, a passion to worship him, a passion to tell other people about Jesus. There should be a passion that's rooted in your heart for him. And the enemy will try to distract you from those points. He will try to distract your heart. He will try to harden your heart. And he will try to make your heart lukewarm. But when God one day spoke to me, and he said, "I'm not coming back for a church that is lukewarm. I'm not coming back for a church that is impure in love, tainted by the world and compromised by truth. I'm not coming back for a church limping between two opinions. I'm returning for a bride that is set on fire in love and whose hearts are ablaze with true holiness." And if you remember last week, you'll maybe need to go back and listen to that. But I want to say is that really ask the Lord. If David said in Psalm 139, he talks of, I can't tell you how beautiful that psalm is, that he knows that God knows him. He knows that he was knitted together in his mother's womb. He knows that he was fearfully and wonderfully made. He knows that God is watching. He's going out and he's coming in. He knows that God is all around him. And that yet he says at the very end, he says, search me and try me and see if there's any hidden things, anything hidden in my heart. And tell me those things. Well, if David said them when he knew the absolute love of God, I want to ask you, do you ask some of those questions to God? Because what the enemy tries to do in the unseen world is get you to have wrong motives, wrong attitudes, get you to be coming from the wrong place of love. And he tries to distort something. And so we have to be very, very careful to guard our hearts well and be these lovers that God has called us to be. You see, when Mark came and we'd already been given this word, that this is the house of God, the gate of heaven. We want to be a church that really welcomes in the manifest presence. So I've spoke about this before. You can get many churches and you can go to a church, but you cannot feel the manifest presence of God in that church. But this church, I want to say, the more we speak about intimacy, the more we speak about love, the more we speak about the love of God, that we are righteous and we are saved because of the wonderful finished work on the cross of Jesus Christ. Just what Ikpe was saying this morning. It's all what Jesus has done for us. Everything of who you are and why you're sat there, why you're breathing, is all because of God. I just like had a moment this week on Thursday night. I just have this condition. I don't know what it is yet. Hopefully it'll get diagnosed soon. But my blood pressure really, really plummeted. And I did it 3 times and it'll shock some people if you're in the medical profession. It was 84 over 49. And my chest was really, I'd got really bad pains in my chest. And I laid down and I said, well, Lord, if I go to sleep, I might wake up with you. That's how I felt. I felt so poorly. I just might wake up with you. And that would be a glorious place for me to be because I'm a lover of God. I want to ask you, and I try to keep my heart right with God all the time, but I know this wonderful love of God that couldn't love me. His grace is abounding over my life. Even when I get things wrong, his grace and his love is abounding. Even when I trip up, his grace and his love is abounding. His grace and his love is abounding to his children all the time. And so when we fall and when we get things wrong, and we all do, what is he doing? His love picks us back up again. The scripture picks you back up again. The word picks you back up again. But if you don't read it, where will you stay? You'll stay somewhere crumbled on the floor. And if you don't read it in the right way of allowing God to get right to the intention of your heart, you'll allow the enemy to do what he set out to do, is to lead you away from the heart of God. That is the unseen. And so on Tuesday, I came in here and I started just to pray. And I felt God, the second thing, that was two things that the enemy does. And so one is the unseen things in our heart. The enemy tries to influence our heart. So the first thing is guard your heart well and keep in the word and obey the word and keep truthfully reading it every day, because it brings healing to your soul. And the second thing is what the enemy tries to do. He tries to invade the atmosphere of the world to affect us. And so you will know that. You will feel that. And that's why you have to be grounded in the word of God. And so when the storms of life come, you have to know that you are where your house is built. It has to be built on the firm rock. Otherwise, when the winds blow and the enemy's blowing around and the seasons and the times are blowing, because there is darkness that's blowing all around, and the days are getting more evil, you'll have to know that your house is on a firm rock, because when the wind blows, let me tell you, you don't want to be crumbling. And we don't want to be crumbling as a people. And God just showed me. I came in here and I got down on my knees. This is what I'm saying. It's lovely when the Holy Spirit tells you something. And he was telling me at Genesis 11, if you want to turn it or you want to write it down. He was telling me about the Tower of Babel. And he was reminding me of this story. And the people of the time, they'd got in a dark place. And I guess really, they were in a place very much like today. I don't think there's very much changed at all, really. It's just sin. But there was a celebration of sin. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to affect the atmosphere and bring actually a celebration of sin. Because there's a lot of dark things that are going out in the world that people are calling the norm, which are actually a sin. The Bible tells us they are sins. And here they go, and these crazy lot. And they start saying in verse 4, then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And here, it is quite funny. You see, the enemy doesn't always bring like anxieties and fears and disappointments and disillusionment. He does those things. But do you know what the enemy sometimes does? He encourages. And this is what he was doing with these people. He was encouraging them in their prideful state to build a tower that was to make a name for themselves. And then you'll know in the story that it says, God says, come, let us go down there and confuse their language. And I was thinking about this. It was quite a revelation. It maybe isn't for you, but it was a revelation for me. Because as I was praying, this is what I felt that God was saying. Sometimes that we think it's the enemy bringing confusion, don't we? But let me tell you, over this situation, and I believe even in the land that God was telling me that is happening today, the enemy sent a judgment of confusion. And it was God's judgment. Now you might say to me, actually, Ange, in the word of God, it says that God is not the author of confusion. I do know where the scripture is. It's in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 14. And it's talking about orderly worship. But this is talking about something that God did. He brought a confusion and the people didn't know what they were doing. You look around the world today and you even ask yourself the question, is there a confusion that is taking place? So if God sends the judgment of confusion, let me tell you, the enemy will get right hold of it. People don't know whether the men, the women, they don't know whether the kids don't know whether they're human or they're animals. I mean, it's got as crazy as that. There is such confusion. There is confusion in the political state. There, with all the, you hear it every time you turn the news on. There's confusions in the financial world. There's just confusions in people's minds. There's so many people, and I guess really if you did a survey, with people confused even in their minds, that they've just got all these depressions. You know, sometimes God sends something so people halt to say, I'm desperate. I need something that's better than this. Well, let me tell you, we've got the answers, guys. So I want to tell you, as a church, let's not be influenced by the world of confusion. We have got the word of truth that anchors you right down So you don't have to be confused about any situation that you are going through, because you have got the God of heaven on your side. There is so many Christians that get a circumstance coming. They get a situation, so they have things that have been going on for years and years, and then all of a sudden they are down drain lane in a second. Well, what do the scriptures say? What does God say? Remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, Jesus kept saying, "It is written, it is written, it is written." You go and read the word of God and find out what is written over your circumstances. I do find over the years, this strange thing, there are many, and I don't mean to be this to be rude, but there are many lazy Christians that do not read, that do not read the word of God, that do not go ask, inquire of God for answers, that do not even go inquire of God and question, why is this going on, God? Is there something you want to show me? They just stand and they're like, the feet are like going, ah, help me. But God has got all the answers. And this is a word of power that has got all the answers in it. And so let's not be Christians like that, because in the dark days we have to know the truth of God's word. And I was just thinking, just turn to me to Acts 16 and I'll just finish with this. So God was just showing me about Silas and Paul, where before they were imprisoned in chapter 16. And they were going to pray. And I guess in society, we see it all today. We think slavery is gone in this society, but slavery isn't gone. There are that many slaves in this country, in other nations, people who are pimping people out for money in whatever area they can do. It is a mass going on. Even, I would say, in this town, in our town. And so we need to be able to be able to be people who are able to pray in the spirit. And so Paul and Silas, they are plagued by this woman who is a fortune teller. And so, you know, the world is looking for supernatural. And it is looking for answers anywhere. So even in the fortune tellers, people will go. To spiritualists, people will go. They will try to look for answers anywhere. But the answer is only found in Jesus Christ. And there is only one answer to your problem. There's only one answer to your situation, and that's in Jesus Christ. And so here you come. This is what you like if you keep in truth. You have the power of God within you. So not only the power of God when you read it, the power of God then flows out of you. And he then rebukes this demon out of this woman, and she's delivered. And the owners of her go absolutely crazy, don't they? And they're taken to the marketplace, and they're there flogged and beaten. They are beaten with rods, and it says they are stripped, and then they are imprisoned. And you have to laugh. And about midnight, Paul and Silas, so they're imprisoned, fastened with the feet to the stock. They've been beaten with rods, so that would not have been nice. And about midnight, Paul and Silas, they started praying and singing hymns and to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Let me tell you, everybody is listening to you. Everybody is watching how you behave. Whether your circumstance makes you go real down, and then all you are is downcast and gloomy, and what witness is that to the glory of God? What witness is that in your workplace? What witness is that to your family? What is witness is that to your children? Because we're meant to teach our children in the work where they should go. You get a circumstances and you've gone right down. What does that teach them? you should be saying, let's gather around the table. Let's pray. Let's ask God. Let's petition him. Let's pray. Let's praise. And so their praise maybe wouldn't have been like some of the songs we sing. Their praise would have been full of scripture. They were singing hymns of scripture, so they were singing themselves, truth to themselves. Do you sing truth to yourself when the situations come, when the atmosphere changes, when things become hard for you? Do you sing praises to God? Do you lift your eyes up to behold him, just what Igpay was saying? Because he's the only answer. He's the only answer. When I saw Dave coming in last Sunday, and he was out for all of worship, and when he sat there, he came in, and I don't even know how I really did that this talk last week, except the grace of God. And when I saw his hand all bandaged, the only thing that I wanted to actually do was like cry and run over to him. But I knew God was saying, you get stuck in now, girl. You give the word out to the people. Tell them to be lovers. But I didn't really want to do that. I want to tell you, I didn't really want to do it. I wanted to go sit with Dave and ask him if he were all right. You see, your circumstances, they've not to dictate where you are and who you are and how you function and what you do. They're not meant to do that, guys. We're meant to lift our eyes up and behold Jesus. And praying in the Spirit is a really important thing, because you go to many churches, it's not about nice, intellectual, well-delivered prayers. It's not about that. It's about when you're praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit directs, and the Holy Spirit, he does this thing with your prayers. He empowers your prayers as you're praying in the Spirit. Sometimes you just don't know what to pray for, do you? I don't know if you're ever like that, and you're stuck for words. And sometimes I just like groan, or I just cry. I know it's the Holy Spirit just in me and helping me to know how to pray, but I sometimes just cry. Sometimes I pray in tongues because I run out of words. I don't know what to pray. But I know that I need the Holy Spirit to empower something me. Because when the Holy Spirit empowers our prayers, and we're praying in the Spirit, things change. Atmospheres do shift. Lives get transformed. Hearts get changed and renewed. Your life moves in a different direction because God's plans and purposes are for you to move, and the enemy's plans and purposes for you are to keep you stagnant and still. And God has called us to be on mission. And I just want to say, we need the Holy Spirit. We just need the Holy Spirit. Your relationship with God and your maturity in God will be determined on how much you pick that up. Your growth will be determined on how much you pick that up and read it. Your heart connection will depend on how much you need the Holy Spirit to help you to pray and help you in your relationship with God. Because a relationship with God means that we communicate. And when we stop communicating, we are being influenced by the enemy. And I don't want to be influenced. I don't know where you are, guys. But I don't want to be influenced by anything that he's doing. I don't want confusion to come into my life. I don't want my heart to get cold. I don't want to stop praying in my hard situations and circumstances, I want to press into God. And so only you will know where you are. Only God will know where you are. And how long have I got, Dave?